The Laughter Permitted podcast is brought to you by Ally. Do it right. Hello! Welcome to Laughter Permitted. I'm Julie. This is Lynn O. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, Jules.
Something I've actually been meaning to do on the pod, and I'm overdue on, is to congratulate the Stanford women's basketball team on its national championship. Slow clap for Stanford! The card eked out a win over Arizona, who surprised everyone by making it to the Final Four.
That's right. Arizona became a big storyline after they knocked off UConn in the semifinal. Our guest is the head coach for the Wildcats, Adia Barnes. And get ready for some uber cuteness because her five-year-old son, Mateo, makes a special appearance.
Oh my gosh, he is beyond adorable. As for Adia, she has been coaching at Arizona since 2016. She actually went to Arizona and still holds the record for most points in school history.
Baller.
And this season, Adia coached Arizona to its first Final Four. In fact, it's the first time the women's basketball team advanced past the Sweet 16. Adia played professionally, speaking of baller, for 12 seasons in the WNBA and overseas, and won a WNBA championship with the Seattle Storm back in 2004. She and her husband, Salvo, who serves as her assistant coach, have two adorable kids, Mateo, who we meet at the top, and their daughter, Capri, who just turned 7 months old. Yes. Lots on Adia's plate, and we get into all of it. So get comfortable listening. It's Adia Barnes. Hey there, Dope Village. As y'all know, Ally has backed Laughter Permitted since day one of our podcast as our financial ally. And honestly, Lynn, I might just tattoo Ally on my forehead. And Ally is currently on a mission to change the game for women sports.
And get this. Along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, Atlantic Coast Conference, United States Golf Association, and the Las Vegas Aces, Ally has committed to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And you, my friends, can be part of the change by watching your favorite athletes crush it on TV, by going to women's sporting events in person, by, I don't know, maybe listening to every single episode of this amazing podcast on Trailblazing Women. Because every time you show up for women's sports, you are helping move the game forward. You can learn more about Ally by visiting ally.com. Hey there, Dope Village. Lynn and I have been involved in women's sports our entire lives. And truly, we've never been more excited for what's to come in this women's sports space. And one big reason, Ally. Ally has made a commitment to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And that means more money going to women's sports and more visibility for what these incredible athletes are accomplishing. Ally is on a mission to change the game for women's sports.
So here at Laughter Permitted, we're going to keep telling the stories of trailblazing women. And every time you listen in, you are part of that change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com. Kick back. Mateo, what's up, bro?
Say hi.
Hi.
Hi. My name's Julie. I'm with my friend Lynn. What are you doing, bro?
With my mom.
You are? Are you gonna rock this interview with her?
No, he's not. I'm gonna keep him away, hopefully.
Oh, I will.
Mateo, let's go. Playing a little beat in the background, adding some music.
Yeah, don't you guys love that?
Let's go, Mateo.
There's a little guitar everywhere.
This is
great. Mateo, how old are you now? Are you 20 years old yet? I feel like you are.
No, I'm 5 years old.
Five? That's it?
Yeah, and I drive
play cars.
You're driving cars and playing instruments already?
Yeah, and our house is a disaster.
If Hold you're on. Gonna use your computer, can I use your phone?
No, you may not.
But why?
Oh my God, I love him already.
This is the best start to a podcast we've ever had.
I know. See, that's why I have to like hide outside and like, you don't understand. It's like a pain in my ass.
Have you listened to the podcast yet from The Daily where it's called Pandemic Parenting? And they have you heard this one yet, Adia?
No. Yeah, send that to me.
It's so
I need
good.
That because it's painful.
They have women who call in. They just had a hotline that women could call into and they're like screaming primal yells.
Yeah. I know. And then you have like my husband's supposed to sometimes help them. It doesn't really work that way.
We get it. Mateo, I feel like we would be BFFs. Hey, buddy. I have a 12 and a 14-year-old. Can you come babysit them for me?
Yeah.
Please.
You can babysit 12-year-old Mateo?
Yeah. I could even play the music.
Yeah, exactly.
They would love that.
Do they ever take naps?
They don't as much anymore. Could you start them on the nap cycle again? I would love that.
Yeah, I would just play relaxing music.
You're not on the nap cycle.
Wait, so 5 years old means kindergarten, right?
Yeah, but he was out of school this year because of COVID.
Right. Oof. And how's your sister? Are you helping mom take and dad take care of her, Capri? I hear her. Yeah. She's what? She's almost 8 months old?
No, she just turned 7 months.
Oh, she just turned 7 months. Awesome. That's nice. Do you play music for her?
Yeah.
Do you put her to sleep with your music?
Sometimes.
Yeah, put her to sleep right now.
All right.
Okay.
I need to go put her to sleep with my relaxing music, and then I'll be right back on the Zoom if you want me to.
Okay. Thank you.
Would you like me to be back on the Zoom?
Oh, Mateo, we would love you. You can come on whenever you want.
All right.
Is that I thought that was a wildcat. That's a Aloha hat. We need to get you a wildcat hat.
Oh, I'm sorry. Full disclosure, I'm a Stanford card. So I'm not sure if I could rock the wildcat hat.
That's been a long time, though. When did you graduate?
A long time. I am old. Yes.
I'm old, too.
I am old. 1993.
So wait, you went to Stanford? What year?
93.
I'm 94 and 98, so not too far behind you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Hold on. You can sit, but you have to be quiet, okay?
Sit on your lap?
You can sit right next to me.
I want to sit on your lap.
Is he going to be distracting if he sits here?
No. Fine.
Okay, for a few minutes you could sit.
Oh, Mateo, there's the man, the myth, the legend. Okay, Adia, the first thing we always do on the podcast is we set the scene.
Okay.
Where you are, what you're doing. Set the scene, Adia.
Okay, so the scene today is a Sunday. You know, when you wake up with two kids, it's always romp room early in the morning. Breakfast, it's already been a car ride. I've already had some calls. And we have the guitar hero right next to me. After this, we're going to go on a walk so mommy can get some exercise.
And also, I found a perfect spot in the neighborhood to have a picnic at lunch today.
Yeah. Oh, did you? I didn't know that. So we're going to go on a picnic.
Oh, Mateo.
It's a big day.
You're going to go have a picnic? Can I come as well? Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
This is the best ever. So, Adia, Julie and I have a running email thread with the subject season 5 guests. It's where we share all of our ideas for who we want to talk to. So I want to read you what I wrote to Julie on April 2nd.
Oh, gosh, I'm scared. Okay.
Don't be scared.
Adia Barnes, period. I want to play for her, period.
The double birds did it, right? Yes.
I jumped on the Arizona bandwagon so fast in that semifinal game. And the thing about it was I absolutely fell in love with your energy.
Thank you.
I mean, it came through the TV screen. So to start things off, how would you describe your coaching style?
I'm pretty laid back. I think that, like, I'm not a big screamer. because like when I had coaches that screamed, it just like went in one ear, out the other. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a big screamer, but I'm like a big, like I'm very honest. Mm-hmm. So like, matter of fact, like I can say like, air, you suck today. You need to pick it up. Like, you know, like you're playing bad. Like, yeah, let's go do something. But I'm not like, I'm not a screamer. I'm not super negative. I'm not, I'm honest. I think that's what's good. I'm very transparent, but I do get into the game. Like sometimes I have to remember I'm not a player anymore, but I'm like, yeah, let's go. So I'm passionate. I get excited, but like, I'm not like going to throw off my coat and do all that crazy stuff because it's just not necessary. But I just did myself. I don't even know. I just do what I feel.
It felt so positive while watching it. There was nothing negative about the energy. It just was, looked like you were in the moment.
Well, I try not to add stress. So like, I'm not a really high stress person. So like in situations where it's super stressful, I'm not going to add stress. I'm not going to be like, oh, you know, like super tight. I'm just like, hey, this is what it is. What we got to do. Like, okay, we see it's like 30 seconds left. We need to score fast. Like, I just kind of like, just like, but this is how we do it. I just try to give them direction and say, okay, we have to A, B, and C, we have to do it. Now the time is becoming more, I think I'm calm. And I think it's I don't know. I think that's how they are. I don't like get like, you know, because it's already stressful in their kids. I don't think they can like assimilate all that stuff.
Right there, the value of being a player, going to coach, and understanding that. Oh, so good. Okay, you had me at the double middle finger. Yes. That's where it was kind of like that Jerry Maguire moment where you had me at hello. You had me at the double middle. And basically you telling the team, you know, to the critics, F all of them. Let's go. We believe in us, and that's all that matters. Take us to that moment.
So at that moment, I was so proud. You know, honestly, going into that game, I was like, ooh, this is going to be a tough one. Like, they're really good. They're really experienced. They're better at every single position. It's, you know, evenly matched at Aries, like another really good player next to her and Paige. So every other position, hand down, just, I think, better overall. So I knew we had to go in and fight. But just the way we started the game, controlled the game, I was really proud of how we were playing. It got a little bit dicey a couple minutes, like, left. I think I want to say 5 minutes. And, but then we kind of kept our composure, which I was really proud about. That's uncharted territory for us. We had never been in a tournament, let alone playing against UConn in the finals was hard. And so I was just so proud after the game. I mean, so like surprised at the way we handled the game, so proud. And then, so I knew I wanted to tell the players something. So I kind of brought him in. I brought him in tighter because I was going to tell him something. I wanted to tell him what I thought. And so I was like, come in tighter. I was like, no one believed in us. I was like, look around. We believed in us. No one else did. They left us out of the video. They didn't care. No one even considered us. And we went in and we kicked their butt, you know? Uh-huh. And then I said, so blank, everybody did that didn't believe in us. And then they were like, yeah. But I was like, because we believed in each other. Like, no one believed in us.
I know.
So if you were at the game, you wouldn't have seen, like, what I did. What caught us was there was, like, that camera that's on, like, the top wire.
Yeah.
And that, like, zoomed
the
in.
The spider cam. Yeah, oh,
yes. Yeah, there's a spider cam, the fancy camera. But I was a little bit embarrassed at the fact that, like, I look like I'm not a good role model. And I feel like I'm a really good role model. So like, I was kind of embarrassed and like, gosh, if someone saw that doesn't know me, I look kind of crazy. But then I just felt like I'm not apologizing. That's an intimate moment with my team. I was loving on my team. I was telling them, look, we got this. No one believed in us. Screw everybody. You know, we got one more game. And so I wasn't going to apologize because I didn't want to take back that moment.
No, nor should you have to, right? Like, that's your moment. I was like, I would play for her right now. Let's go.
I jumped on the bandwagon even before that.
But you saw the way my players, they were like,
that's the thing.
They were nuts. They were like,
I couldn't believe it, like, went viral. I was like, oh, my gosh. It was, like, memes and stuff. I was like.
Well, to your point, you weren't in the promotional video. They totally blanked you on that. You're playing against two of the most iconic teams in the history of women's basketball. Yeah. And you schooled UConn, let's be clear, in that semifinal game. You almost knock off Stanford. How do you get the players to believe, like, we belong here?
I think not thinking about all the peripheral stuff. Like, it was just, like, one game at a time. And so for us, it was just UConn. We weren't thinking about Stanford. I knew our team is better at honing in, not saying, okay, if we beat them, we can beat them. We aren't good like that. So we just, like, if it was BYU, we talked only about BYU. We didn't look ahead at the bracket, nothing. It was just the day before we're focusing on BYU. So it was all UConn. We got to find a way to beat UConn. We got to do whatever it takes. We got to, our goals were always to win every passion play, win every 50-50 ball. Like, those are controllable things. Sometimes your shots aren't going to fall, but we can control our defense. You play hard. So I said, if we're not scoring, they ain't going to score either. So it's like those little things. And I think that we had the belief because, like, what do we have to lose? Mm-hmm. Like, we were there. We worked hard to get there. It was a tough year. So it's like, at that point, you just go out and play. Mm-hmm. And I felt like we didn't have pressure. Like, we weren't supposed to win. Mm-hmm. So I said, we have no pressure. We have zero pressure. I said, like, all 20 million people in the world, they all think we're going to lose. So I said, it doesn't matter. We go out and play. We win. It's amazing. We go out and lose. We had a great season. So there's no pressure. Go out and play free and have fun. Mm-hmm. Like, have fun. Like, dive after the balls with passion. Win every tough play. Win the tough stuff. Like, I always say, love the hard stuff. Love all those things. Win them. And then it's like, yeah, then it's like the shots will fall because you're confident. All those other things will come. I mean, they didn't fall against Stanford, but we still played hard. We were down 11, mm-hmm. or I think 13 at some point in the national championship game and fought back.
Love the hard stuff. What are some of the hard things in a game?
Gosh, I mean, there's so many hard things in the game. Like, when you're down 10 in a championship game, that's very hard. That's a pressure situation. Like, for instance, we had an and one on a 3-point shot, really bad mistake. Those are mistakes where you can't dwell on them. I always talk about next play. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking of the next play. So you don't dwell on that, but you better go back and make it up on defense. Mm-hmm. Then you better be solid the next couple of times because we don't want compounded mistakes. But also the hard stuff in a game, like when you've just missed your last four shots, that's hard. So what are you going to do? You're going to hang your head and have bad body language? No. You're going to go and you're going to go get a free throw. You're going to go get a steal and a layup. Like, things that get you back into the game mentally. I always tell my players, don't go back in your first shot in a national championship game and be like a step back three. That's going to be a hard shot. It might be air ball. Because it's the adrenaline. It's the beginning of the game. It's a hard shot. Better to go get a deflection. Better to go get a layup. Get the shot, your best shot. Like, you're good at a high post jumper. You get that shot. But you don't take a really difficult first shot.
Oh, that's such a good point.
You know, you're nervous and you're like getting into the game. And those are hard. Like, Diana Taurasi and players like that can do that. But, you know, and Aerie was so hot. She could have done that. Like, she was hot in the tournament. She wasn't as hot as the Stanford game, but she was on fire, wasn't she?
I looked up her height. I kept going, how tall is she? She's my size, 5'6".
Yes.
I mean, 5'6 on a good day. But I was like, whoa.
Incredible. Yeah, she's 5'6 on a good day.
Okay, good. So same with me. So we're the
same. Yeah, she's small. And she's not like, she's muscular, but to be as small as she is, she doesn't get her shot blocked a lot.
Mm-hmm. So she got off a step back three with three people on her.
Yeah, which was a tough shot. Like, that was a really hard last shot. Like, we didn't execute the play well, but it's just a pressure situation. It was hard.
But how special is Aerie McDonald?
Oh, like, extremely special. I think what separates her is she's a really good player, but she's a great kid. So the first thing is a great kid. She's a great teammate. She's positive. She's got good. I'm huge on body language. Has good body language. Good aura about her. And then you take the basketball side. She works really hard. She the first one there, last one to leave. She leads her team. Doesn't say a whole lot, but what she says is powerful. And then she's a dog on the court. Like, she's got this fire and this competitiveness that you can't teach. So, like, players either have that or they don't. You don't just become that. So you're either like an ultra competitive person or you're not. Like I always try to think I can make people that and you can't. She is like, does not want to lose. So she's going to score. She's going to press you for 40 minutes. Like, she's going to play like her heart out. And so the area that she grew in when she first got to college, she wasn't playing that way every drill. She was playing that way in like 5-on-5. And so, like, she learned and got better at like every drill competing. Because every part of the drill, it makes you better, like, when you play 5-on-5. So she kind of got to that level the last couple of years and just took her game to the next level and worked a lot harder and was more tuned in on becoming a pro.
And that's like a player you want to clone, because when everyone sees it around her, it just raises everyone up as well.
For sure, because they followed her. So when she worked hard, by her being like that the last couple of years, it took our program to the next level. Because then they were all hungry. They were all like about it. Like they were all wanting to win and wanting to be good. And so they followed her lead for sure.
Well, speaking of leads and carving out paths, history was made at this Final Four. For the first time ever, there were two Black head coaches.
Yeah.
You and Hall of Famer GOAT Dawn Staley from South Carolina. What needs to happen for this to become the norm?
Well, I didn't even know. Like, there were so many things I learned in the tournament that were first. And it's like, I didn't know we were the first Dawn and I, like WNBA, former WNBA players to be in the finals. I didn't know that. And then like the only one that's a mom in the finals, and Dawn and I, the only two African Americans. I just thought that they had been there many times, like with Vivian. I didn't have any idea. So during the tournament, I was like, wow, really? But I thought it was special because, you know, Dawn is someone who I look up to, someone who I just think is wonderful. I used to watch her when she was a player, and she was like a point guard in the WNBA that was like the floor coach. And I watched her in the Olympics, and Sue Bird and I were really close. And so Sue Bird was like learning from Dawn. Mm-hmm. And so I watched that whole process. So to coach like against her, being that same conversation with her, I think was meaningful for me. But I honestly thought that would have happened many times. I think that the reality is there aren't a whole lot of successful African-American coaches. And I think if you look and you always ask like, who are the best? It's like, you kind of have to rack your brain. Like, you know, you can always name different, you know, coaches but when you think about like really successful Black head coaches, it's Vivian, you know, Carolyn Peck won a championship before, it's Dawn. Like there aren't a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So I think that Dawn and I talked a lot about just, you know, when you're given opportunities, like when former players are, you can be successful, but then the flip side of that is you have to win. So when we are given the opportunities, you need to be successful because mm-hmm. that's how you create more opportunities for others. But I think the reality is a lot of coaches but have not been as successful.
We have the same problem in soccer. There's not a lot of women coming through the pipeline. Like, what is the solution to this? Because it drives me crazy that we're still talking about you two being the first female Black coaches in the Final Four.
No, for sure. And you know, the other thing, so I'm biracial. So like, it's always interesting to me too, because it's like, and I talked on NBC about this, like, it's like, where do I fit sometimes? So yeah, I'm a Black female, but it's like, I was reading on Twitter, it's like, oh, she's only 5% Black, she's barely Black. Like, I was like, whoa, you know? So it's always interesting, like, where does that fit and how does that work, you know? Because I remember in the Pac-12, there was one year I was the only Black coach, so male or female. And I didn't know that till the papers told me. I was like, oh yeah, you're right. Cause I forgot, I don't think about it. And then it was funny, next year they hired a Black coach and they were like, oh, there's one Black coach. And I was like, oh, I was Black last year, I'm not Black this year. You know, it was like, oh, because I'm conveniently Black, right? Thanks, you know? It's just funny. So it's always interesting how you fit and how you mix. But when I look back at why, I think one of the reasons is, as women, we're always coached by men. So growing up in AAU, we're always coached by men. So a lot of younger women would prefer to be coached by men. And I think that when our game changed and it started paying a lot more money, I think a lot more men that probably didn't have the opportunity to coach women, they crossed over to the women's side because it makes money. I think now we have over 50% men in our profession. So, and it wasn't until the last couple of years that women are coaching the NBA, but no women are coaching big college programs. So this is all more recent, all of this, you know, more equity, but there just aren't a lot of women coaching big programs. And I think you have to look at who's hiring. So there's maybe two or three Power Five Black ADs. So you tend, most of their white male ADs, and you typically hire who you associate with and who you relate with. So I think that's kind of, when there's more women ADs, I think you're going to see more women of color, just like that. There's no like, I mean, even, and it was funny because when I tweeted about Dawn and I got this side tweet that said, at least you guys get the opportunity. And it was an Asian woman who, like, there was no Asians. And I said, girl, when there's an Asian woman, I'm gonna be the first one to retweet it. Like, because to me, it's not that race is the biggest thing. It's just that I think you should celebrate those things. If there was two Hispanic women in the Final Four for the first time, I'd be like, hell yeah, that's awesome.
Right.
Like, it's just celebrating the things from groups that don't have as many opportunities.
Yeah. And to your point, maybe it's just they need to see it to be it. And that will inspire more. But if we could just plant that seed to young girls of you can do this, then let's get into coaching because we don't have hardly enough in it. There's possibly another first in there and that is you pumping at halftime of a national championship game. I don't know if we know if that's officially the first, but so good. And when Holly Rowe says it coming out of halftime,
okay, let me tell you what's going on. So we do that all the time. Like, we're women, like, you know, we have babies, like, we pump. Okay, that's what we do.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, I had to pump because I didn't have time before the game. So normally I always pumped, like, I kept the last 25 minutes and I pumped. I talked to the team, I had a routine, and I pumped so then I wouldn't have pain during the game. So for the championship game, I had media stuff. There wasn't really a space. I didn't have time. So I didn't have time to pump. So I was like, I'll be okay. Like, let me just kind of just suck it up. Like, I don't have time anyway. So I got to deal with it. So during the game, I was like, ooh. Like,
you can feel it, you know, too.
Like,
yeah.
I got to probably pump for a second. I didn't really know. It's like kind of the end of the second quarter. And I was like, I probably need to pump for 5 minutes. So I didn't want, like, on national television with like 5 million people watching, like, to have wet spots.
Yeah. So I was like, terrified. Because that's real. Yeah,
it's real.
So it comes out when you don't. You're like, oh, I'm bursting. It's coming.
Yeah, and I don't want to, like, touch me. It's like, you know, like, you see like a wet ring. I would have died. I would have never coached again in my life. So I was like, you guys, I got to pump for 2 minutes. So I booked it in the locker room while the girls would give them 5 minutes anyways. I was like, I need to pump. So I, like, put on the things real quick, and I was pumping as I was talking to the staff, writing down my second half thoughts. And then so I didn't have time to, like, take everything off. So I had, like, the nursing bra, and I had these cups on both sides, right? And so I'm talking to the team, and I have, like, the blanket over. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, you know, they've seen me pump before. So I was like, okay, these are the three adjustments for second half. Like, you couple off.
This is amazing. During the national championship game. I mean, this is just phenomenal.
Okay, so I'm sitting there like this with two, but I have, like, the blanket over me, and I'm talking to the team. I tucked it in on top so it didn't fall. It falls. So it falls, and, like, you see, like, my stomach, and you see, like, these two plastic things, and I was like, oh, sorry, guys. I pick it up on floor. I'm fucking embarrassed as hell. Excuse the French. And so, like, I pull it up, and, like, I just go back to talking, but everybody started cracking up. Like, they were, and I was like, at least I'm not embarrassed. And they laughed. It, like, broke the ice.
Yeah.
And then after that, I let the girls go out. I had to go, like, take my bra off, put the things, I put the milk on, put it in the fridge. And, like, I'm doing my bra, like, I'm, you know, these nursing bras.
Yeah.
I'm, like, doing my bra as I'm, like, walking out. So I didn't tell Holly, but someone must, I was like, we had a minute left. So I'd, like, book it. And Someone must, like, she was pumping, you know, like. Yeah. I never told. I don't know how she knew that.
Yeah.
Someone would have never said
someone
that.
Did say you were late because she was pumping.
Yeah.
But I love that she spoke about it and that you speak about it, because that's the importance of people normalizing it is huge. Like, this is the reality of what we have to go through. And it's not weird. This is it.
No, it's like what we have to do. And, like, we do it all the time. That's why I was kind of like, women do it all the time. Like, I'm sure tons of women have pumped at halftime. But I normally don't. But honestly, like, I normally don't have the baby at an 8 o'clock game.
Yeah.
I had the baby at 8 o'clock game because we had lost a nanny 2 weeks prior during the Pac-12 tournament.
To your point about losing your nanny just prior to that, I mean, as if we needed any more to add to this two dumbbell, one yoga mat story that was revealed inside the bubble. On top of that, which drives me crazy, the NCAA failed to figure out the bubble for you guys in terms of kids and childcare and all of that, right?
Yeah, it was like, and for me, I didn't realize that, because, you know, when you're a coach, you're, like, in your world, you're busy, you know, when you have kids, it's like, you don't have time for anything else. Like, I was getting calls from all kinds of coaches around the country, like, calling me and, like, on the DL, like, saying, like, hey, what do I do in this situation? I was like, wait, you can't bring your kids? Like, I didn't understand it was a thing, because I get to dictate who my 34 people are.
Right.
So my kids are going to be in that 34 regardless. I didn't understand that so many of the other coaches, they couldn't get their coach to allow them to, like, add two people. Mm-hmm. And so then I started talking
about— Who are their kids? By the way,
or their kid, because it's like, you can't just bring a kid. You have to bring a caretaker.
Right.
So it's two. So then you have to take another spot of someone else.
Right.
Why a baby counts towards the count when they don't count on the plane, they're not a ticket. It shouldn't, but they do. Uh-huh. And so I think that was a big thing. So women were calling me all around the country, like, well, my administration's saying this. And I'm like, well, that's not that's not true because I do that here. Like, so I did, and I talked about it. Some people wrote a couple articles and it helps some women take their kids. So I was happy to like, wow, I could help with that. I didn't know that all of this was going on. Right. And so the challenging thing for me was, so I had my 5-year-old, I had my seven, at the time she was 6 months old. We were in the bubble, but there was, it was hard. It was never thought of like someone bringing a kid. We were on lockdown the first couple of days, like in a hotel room. We weren't guaranteed at first that we were going to have a suite. So at first I was really stressed out. Like my friends were calling me, sending me pictures from there. I was like, if I don't have a suite, like we're going to die. We can't all fit in one room. And so, then I got the suite. The room was fine. The room was perfect. But like, there was nowhere to like run your kid. Like there was nowhere to go. So that was challenging. But then we like ran around the hallway. We just brought like a bag full of like paint and like all kinds of stuff. We made it work, but it was challenging because there was no outdoor time.
With all the inequities that took place during the tournament, was it something that you talked about with your players?
No, because they all knew it. Like we talked and we joke about it, or we talked about, wow, Sedona's, you know, TikTok has like 20 million views. it was like, wow, it went viral. But I think that
that was the one exposing the weight rooms.
She's exposed the weight rooms, but I think we didn't need to talk about it because it was like so glaring. It was just like, wow. I think they would bring stuff up that I didn't know because I wouldn't have the comparisons. They would have like friends that are in the other tournament, and I'd say, really? Like they would say, oh, the guy's going top golfing. I was like, wow. But I didn't want it to be the focal point of the tournament because every press conference I was asked, and I wanted it to be more about like the play and the talented women we have and their stories. The cool thing I thought, which I thought the NCAA did a good job of, was fixing it fast, because within like a day we had an awesome weight room, but it should have been like that in the beginning.
And it's, but it's like, oh, you can do it after all.
I mean, they literally, they did it in a day. Like the next day we had a great weight room and we had like four of them. So it was, I just don't know why there was no thought before. I don't know how that wasn't important.
Yeah, I know, but we know, you know? It's too many
years. But the food, you guys, the food, like the food was bad. Like our kids, the first week our kids were eating and I said, you guys aren't eating. They were like, no, we're not eating. So I had to like then order all kinds of groceries and cereal. They weren't eating the food.
Oh, it's disappointing. The testing, the swag, everything. It's like, you go down the list. Let's go, NCAA. Okay, the best coaches don't just teach X's and O's. They teach about life. So what do you want your players to walk away from your program knowing about themselves?
Well, they're going to be better. So, like, that's something I think that we're the best at. I honestly, am I going to out-coach Tara? Probably not. She's only won, like, 1,100 more games than me. But I think the things that I thought that I could bring, and one of the reasons why I started coaching, I thought I could really mentor and like help navigate things. So like one of our things is loving the process. We always talk about leaving a legacy. I feel that everybody in our program was uniquely chosen, loving the process, leaving your legacy. So the process is hard. The process is the bad stuff. The process is like, you know, failing, losing, all the difficult thing, the adversity that makes you stronger. So when I tell young women, I'm like, I don't just say, oh, be confident. Like, what does that mean? Like, how do you be confident? Like, okay. So we, in my program, we do a lot of stuff that's really annoying. I know it is, but it's beneficial. We do etiquette class. So etiquette class, but like the full on like 4-hour etiquette class for like 2 days, where you're like learning how to shake hands. You're learning how to write a thank you card. You're learning how to eat, but you're learning how to like get into your seat, how you leave to the bathroom, like everything, like detailed. But it's like in etiquette, it's like you have to dress up. You have to stand. You learn how to interact. You learn how to introduce yourself, what to say. You learn how to enter your seat, like on the right side, like how you do that. You learn, you look at thank you cards. You learn like you're not supposed to start a thank you card with thank you, or you're not supposed to buy the thank you cards and say thank you on the front.
Like you're not?
Wait, what? All these years? I've been doing it wrong according to the etiquette lady.
How are we supposed to start a thank you note?
Well, you talk, but you don't say thank you because then it's like the first thing you're saying. You talk about thank you.
It already says it on the front. You're like, I already said it.
That's why you're not supposed to get that. So I learned stuff too. I was like, oh dang. But I want them. So that's what leads to confidence, because then you go to the WNBA, you don't mess up the table at your first formal dinner. Right. So, and then like media training, like how to see the media, you get better at that. So if you watch my kids in the program from the beginning to the end, they're better. I mean, go look at Aerie's Instagram 4 years ago and look at her now. She's different. Like, look at Sam Thomas. Yeah. Like, they're better. They're more confident. They're, I don't have to say it, but I watch it and I like witness it. If I know, like, okay, Aerie, I know she didn't like to really speak a lot in public. So I constantly, like, intentionally would put her on the spot.
Yeah.
So like, Aerie, explain to the team this, you know, like through the years, I did more and more of a year. And like, Aerie, I want you to come to me with this donor event. I want you to meet these donors. Like, come, I'm going to introduce you. Like, to get her like uncomfortable situations, or, you know, Sam, I want you to do this. I want you to be our spokesperson for this. You know, little things, so they just get better, and just from experience. And then like learning how to dress at an interview, they leave here with a resume. Just awesome. So many little things like that. So they're growing as women, because the 1% is going to go play pro. The rest aren't. They need to be prepared. If they didn't grow in my, under my clock in the 4 years, and they're not ready for their next 40 years, then I didn't do my job.
Yeah. And you're modeling it, which is the most powerful message you can give. As well.
Yeah. So. And I think they won't realize that till later. Cause like, I think they get to see it, but I don't realize that. I think later on when they become a mom, they'll be like, wow, how'd you do that? Like, I think they won't understand. I don't think they have any clue right now.
Even the double bird, they'll understand that.
They love it. Cause I'm just the type, like, I'm different.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know, like if you came, okay, so you came from Stanford, let's say you played at Stanford and you transferred to me.
There were no etiquette classes given at Stanford, by the way.
Exactly.
Stanford, no, you think there should be.
But I would have been like, Julie, we're gonna kick their butts for you. Let's go. Let's be Stanford for Julie. Like, you know, it's just like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right. I am changing my thank you card procedure and protocol going forward. Thank you for that.
Yeah, don't fight the thank you with the thank you. I know, I used to do that too. I was like in the etiquette class, taking notes myself. But it was amazing. Like, but those things make your kids better. Like, they become better women. Like, we're women, like, I have to help you grow. Like, our jobs.
Speaking of growing, I hope you grow when you're about to lose this next game, Adia. We play a very competitive game. Losing is growing, you know, Adia.
That's true.
It's called, creatively, the Lynn game. And
yes.
Who made out this game? That's
best,
what I want to know. Who made
best
that?
Name ever. Lynn, explain your game. I'm very good at it, Adia. I just want to warn you.
Okay. This trivia game came about because Julie kept turning questions into competition.
Yeah.
So I just created a competition so that she could get it out of her system.
I have to.
This is a 5-question trivia game, best of 5 wins. It's all multiple choice.
Okay.
At any point where you think you might know the answer, you can chime in. And on that note, what do you have as a noisemaker?
Is a rattle okay?
A rattle is great, and it's our first rattle ever.
Is it? You guys never had a rattle? Are you serious?
Yeah, no rattle. Okay. We had a gavel from NECA Agumake.
Is that loud enough or no?
That works.
Do it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Or this one.
And Julie?
That one's better.
Second one.
Okay.
Julie, what have you got today?
This game makes me nervous.
I'm going with my tried and trusted squeaky toy. That's a donut.
The theme of today's game is grab bag. The questions can be about anything.
Oh.
Question 1. What are baby porcupines called?
Oh, this is unfair.
Is it A, porcupets, B, petite pines, or C, porcalilies?
C.
Did you do your noisemaker, Adia?
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Incorrect.
Who the heck would know that?
Julie.
Porcupets!
Correct.
Yes!
Is that really what they're called?
Porcupitas. Uh-huh. Porcupitas.
Now that's just not smart. Okay.
Oh, crushing it. 1-0. I told you, Adia.
Question two.
Good luck.
What year did the first Air Jordans or Air Jordan 1s come out?
Oh.
A, 1985. B, 1989. Or C, 1991.
89, I'm guessing.
Incorrect.
What is it?
Julie, what's your guess?
So it was 85, 89, or 92?
91.
91? No, I'm going to go with 91.
That's right.
Incorrect.
Ah! It, really?
Air Jordan 1s came out in 1985.
Oh, that's early.
I would not have thought that. That's really early. Wow.
Okay.
No one bought them in 85. That's why.
Right. They didn't get popular till the 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
Question 3. How many Instagram followers does Michelle Obama have?
Oh.
A, 27.2 million. Oh. B, 32 million. Or C, 45.9 million.
Oh. 45.9, I'm sure.
Correct.
I was going to say, wow. I would go the highest possible.
Question 4. Who directed the 2 Wonder Woman movies starring Gal Gadot?
Oh, I know this. I know this. If you say her name, I
A,
know it.
A, Ava DuVernay. B, Patty Jenkins. Or C,
Patty Jenkins! 2-1, Julie! Boom! Let's go!
Correct. Question 5. Who was the first winner of American Idol? A, Carrie Underwood. B, Jennifer Hudson. Or C, Kelly Clarkson?
Kelly Clarkson.
Correct.
That's what I was going to say. I think I
found the tiebreak.
Okay, tiebreak. Tiebreaker.
How many assists does Sue Bird have in her WNBA career? Each of you can give your answer. Closest wins.
Again.
Not doing Price is Right rules. How many assists does Sue Bird have in her WNBA career?
Adia, you guys are buds. Let's go.
I should know this. But
you
not
should
like I
know
look
this.
Up her assist.
This is going to reflect on your friendship. If
it
not.
Is. Okay. So please don't tell. I don't tweet at her or anything.
All right. I'm going to ask for an answer from both of you in 3, 2, 1.
1,000.
1,200.
Dia wins. The answer is 2,888 assists.
No, actually, I should have known it's over 1,000 because I forget she's played. This is her 20th season, so duh. If she gets like 6 a game, I didn't even think about that. Okay,
yeah.
I should have known that. So can 20th. I change that 2,000? I meant.
You still win, Adia. You won.
You take the game.
You won.
Who's gonna be like,
congratulations.
Wow.
Okay, most pressing questions. You have given me my new favorite acronym. Sorry, acronym.
What is it? I know it's a bit. Come on, Stanford.
You have given me my new favorite acronym. It is GSD. Can you tell the Dope Village what GSD means?
The censored version is get stuff done. The uncensored version is you can say it because it's your show.
No, you say it. It's your acronym.
Get S done.
Oh, come on. Get shit done. Get her done.
You know, I got that from another podcast I was on. I was like, I love that. I'm going to use that from now on.
Oh, who'd you steal it from? I always like to give credit to who we steal from.
Spain.
Oh, Sarah's?
Yes. Nice. Sarah's Spain.
Oh, Spainers?
Yeah.
GSD?
Yeah, they
gave it to me. Of course.
I was like, I'm stealing that. I love it. Because that's like what we do. Just think about it. As a mom, you just like, get it done. Like, whatever. I got to get
GSD.
Done. Yeah.
No problem.
Next most pressing. In the Final Four game against Connecticut, were you wearing Versace tennis shoes?
Yeah, I was. So listen, they're red and blue. Okay, so I had to wear them.
Sick.
And they're like, you know, they're clunky. So they kind of make our casual gear look a little better. But then Nike didn't want me to wear them. So I had to change them. You know, Nike wanted me to wear Nike. So I was like, okay, I'm a team player. So change them back to Nikes.
Final thing we do on the podcast is a segment called High, Low, Cheer. And we do this around the dinner table with my kids. I typically ask them their high of the day, their low of the day, and someone they cheer for. But for you, Adia, we are going to do high, low, cheer of your career. So high of your career, low of your career. And the cheer is for someone who's helped you along the way.
The high of my career is, you know, going to play for the national championship. Like, that was pretty awesome. The low of my career
pretty awesome
was, I mean, so there's two lows. One low is losing in a championship. That just, like, sucked. The other low, I think, was just like having a miscarriage coaching the next day, like that was hard to do in the middle of coaching. The cheer is, I'd say cheering for Ari, her getting drafted, you know, third pick, the highest ever of the school, and just so happy that she's made it and just watching her grow. I think that's been an awesome thing.
Aw. And then when you saw her get drafted, that moment must have been a full circle maternal almost, right?
Yeah, it was. I was sad I couldn't be there because in a typical year I would have like been with her there. But you know, I was leaving the next day to USA Basketball and COVID. So it was just, I was happy to see her dreams come true. And I FaceTimed her yesterday and just like, she's just so happy. And I'm so, it's just great to see her just achieve like her lifelong dream. So awesome. Proud mommy moment.
Well, thank you on a Sunday with all the chaos in your life for taking the time to share your wisdom. We so appreciate it. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, darling. Go get that picnic in.
I know.
I stand with my earlier statement. I would play with Adia any day, anytime. I would play for her.
I'm with you.
So good.
100%.
Okay, my takeaway, Lynn, I'm going to start, is Adia reinforces my belief that when you lead authentically, transparently, vulnerably, people respond to that. Because leading is about trusting. And when you trust in your leader and the people around you, good things happen. It's not even about winning. It's about doing right for your teammates. Ooh. And I love that about her.
My takeaway is, as we were interviewing Adia, a thought I had was coaching is a calling for her. She is meant to be doing this. I was blown away at the level of detail she considers and wanting to make a positive impact on her players' lives, obviously from what they do on the court, but also leaving school with a resume to teaching them how to write thank you notes in etiquette class.
And most importantly, writing it in. Like, actually handwriting a note is powerful instead of an email. All right. Questions permitted.
This week's question comes from LizzieG07 on Instagram. Is it donut, D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T, or D-O-N-U-T? What is your spelling?
It's definitely not Doffnut. No. It's D-O-N-U-T. I actually get kind of aggro when people spell it Doffnut. I'm like, no, why do we do this? D-O-N-U-T.
I'm with you. D-O-N-U-T all the way. Who has time to spell Doffnut?
Way too long. Way too complicated. Keep things simple. As always, thank you for taking time in your day to hang out with us, Dope Village. Thank you as well to our sponsors, Ally Bank and Dick's Sporting Goods. And be sure to check out Kate Diaz's music, who crafted our theme music. And as always, remember, kids, sing it with us.
Laughter permitted.
Now that's just not smart.
Hey there, Dope Village. I wanted to remind you about the best NFL podcast around. The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny. Every week, the brilliant Mina Kimes tackles the biggest NFL topics with precise analysis and, of course, signature wit. You can find the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, that's her dog, by the way, wherever you get your podcasts. Check it out. Baseball's back, and so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season long on ESPN Plus with over 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/baseball.